Hare Krishna. I'm just preparing to head off to a festival in Agad, which is nearby, well, a 2-hour drive away. Yesterday we had a festival here in Budapest, and that went well, although due to location, I think we could have had more people than we actually did have. And I was a little late. I only got there around noon. Program starts at 10 and goes to 6 p.m. because I went for a photo shoot to a photo studio. I was there for about 2.5 hours. This was about a magazine article that was being done, in which I was going to be interviewed, and just for making a few pictures, probably about 2 or 3 pictures of me. They must have taken about 500 photographs, and that really reminded me of devotional service. Same thing, that you really need to put in a lot of effort before you just get it right at the end. And that was what they were doing. They were taking so many pictures just in order to get the right one. Anyway, from there I went on to the program, and which was nice. Aside from the 2 lectures on the stage that I had, I was able to do questions and answers and meet with guests. So it was 6 hours of straight preaching. That was its real life. And one of the lectures I spoke on was on inspiration. And I was giving the example and logic that I was listening to in a recent lecture by Sariputta Prabhu on how one can infer the existence of the Supreme Lord through examples of inspiration, which everyone experiences, and they are, of course, very classical examples of that. One of the examples was that of Descartes, the famous French mathematician, and who had been laboring, struggling for a long time to solve certain mathematical equations, mathematical problem. And no matter how much he tried, he just couldn't get the answer. And so he sort of gave up on it and took a break. And he went out for a walk. And interestingly, as he was, going in downtown Paris or something, just as he was about to step on a tram, just at that very moment, as his foot was in the air, his entire mathematical problem, with all of its complexities, just came to him, along with the solution to every single point, all the step-by-step logic, and he did absolutely nothing. He wasn't even thinking about it, wasn't even trying to make an effort, but all of a sudden the answer just came. So of course the question is, naturally, is where did it come from? He wasn't making any conscious effort to do so. It wasn't that it came necessarily from him. The other question is, well, why did it come? And why did it come then? Why didn't it come at some other time? Another similar answer, well, his answer was, Descartes' answer was, that he postulated that there must be some kind of higher subconscious energy or force from where this problem solution came. It must be higher than him, because he couldn't solve it. He had to just sort of take shelter of it. And as he sort of postulated that further and further, this idea that source of his inspiration was superior to himself was something that he couldn't accept, and so he rejected it. And of course, why did it come? Well, because after so much effort and so much labor, at a certain point, this is of course our answer, at a certain point his karma became ripe. And although he had a desire for something, but he didn't actually really yet deserve to get the fulfillment of his desire. But the fulfillment of that desire did come at that certain point. And of course, this is the role of the super soul, is that he fulfills the desires of living entities according to the balance between what they want and between what they deserve. Of course, Descartes couldn't accept such a thing, and so he discarded this concept of a superior, higher intelligence altogether. This is sort of the blindness of science. Another example is that of Mozart. Mozart was a real genius. He died a musical genius. He died at an early age. There are incidents of Mozart when he would just also go for a walk in the countryside, and all of a sudden he would start to hear symphonies. And it wasn't that he just heard some tune, but he heard every single instrument, all the different aspects of that symphony, and then all he had to do was just rush back to his home and just start writing things down. He was taking dictation. Mozart was a little more spiritual than Descartes, and he ascribed this dictation of beautiful music to a spiritual source, to God, that God was actually inspiring and giving that. So once again, the question comes up, something which the conscious self is unable to do, and then all of a sudden there's a solution or the ability to do that just comes without any particular effort, and it comes from, obviously, some type of other source. So what is that other source? Well, for us, our answer will be that that other source is God. It's the Supreme Being. But even if people don't immediately accept that as proof of God, and of course proving the existence of God in itself is not a scientific thing, but it's certainly evidence that there's some other force or possibly some other being who's facilitating the desires of living entities and is enabling them to do things which they themselves otherwise are not able to do. And you can't deny it. It's happening. It happens to everyone. And of course, in another way, this also responds to the, and that of course went back to Descartes himself, what is called the body-mind problem. And that is recognizing, as we begin our preaching always, that you're not this body, which means that we, spirit, soul, are completely separate from matter. In other words, that the source of consciousness is a separate substance than matter. And if it's completely separate, then the answer comes up, well, but then how is it that we're able to interface with matter if we're a completely different thing with from matter? Then how is it that my wanting to talk in this microphone manifests in my being able to talk? And from the other perspective, how is it that matter is able to influence spirit? Because if someone comes and covers their hand, covers my microphone with their hand, then I'm not able to communicate any further. So since these are two drastically different and non-interactive substances, what is it that makes conscious living entities able to interact with matter? And of course, the argument that we give is that it's the super soul. But once again, on the basis of similar evidence as that, as with inspiration, we say, well, logically it means that there is some higher source who controls both matter and spirit, and he's the one that facilitates the desires of the soul, the consciousness, the mind, to interact with matter. Otherwise, how else do you explain it? And of course, scientists explain it by wanting to reduce consciousness and our own identity, our own personal identity, to matter, so that everything can be therefore explained by one set of laws, which is the laws that govern matter itself. But they've still yet to explain how it is that consciousness works and how it is that we living entities are able to perceive, see, hear, smell, touch, feel, and so on. They can't explain, what to speak of, reproduce such things simply by material combination. Anyway, this was the topic of yesterday's discussion, and something for devotees to also contemplate as a good argument to give to others in our preaching. Hare Krishna.